What is sin? In a nutshell, sin is anything that God forbids, anything which we do not do in faith. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. The Ten Commandments provide an all-encompassing rubric for how a believer who fears God should live, but they are frequently misunderstood. The first three deal with our sanctified walk in regard to God, how we should think about Him, act towards Him, and speak about Him respectively. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 through 7. Commandments 5 through 10 have to do with how we should comport ourselves in the world in response to the system of authority God has set up to preserve human life and freedom so that all have a fair chance to experience salvation, dealing with the sanctity of life, family, property, justice, and freedom generally. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 through 17. The fourth commandment stands in the middle between these two sets and has to do with the believer's peace and rest in the Lord here in the middle of the devil's world. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 through 11. We are not of the nation of Israel. That divinely constituted nation-state does not exist at present. So there is no longer any physical Sabbath to be observed in the land. Rather, we are to rest in the Lord at all times, trusting Him no matter what betides. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. In terms of the question, what is sin? It is clear from the passage just quoted, a list given by Paul which is not meant to be comprehensive but merely to give examples of sin, that sin comprises all manner of activities, things we think, things we say, and things we do, anything that violates God's will for our lives in an arrogant way. The anemic such things in the New King James Version translation is better rendered things of this sort, which should be expanded to bring out the true meaning as thus. Anything else of this sinful sort of thing, in case a particular weakness was missed. As Paul tells us at Romans chapter 5, verse 13, sin existed before the Mosaic law was given. Only specific sins were often not recognized as sin until the law specifically forbid them. And there are many things which we know from the New Testament which are sinful but not directly prohibited by the law. As in the passage quoted from Galatians, we see a number of actions and patterns of thought and speech for which no one ever made an animal sacrifice, but they are works of the flesh and definitely sins. The good news is that Christ died for all of our sins, whether we recognize them as such or not. He paid the entire price for each and every one. When we consider that his death for even our smallest sin, one that we no doubt never even noticed, cost him a price far greater than the entire world, and that he died for all of our sins and for all of the sins of all of humanity. We have some small idea of the magnitude of his sacrifice for us and just how much we owe him, which is everything. More good news is that we have been forgiven everything when we believed and thus were redeemed from all of our sins, so that we may have eternal life with him. And if and when we sin after salvation, all such sins are forgiven the moment we confess them to the Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. There are two wrong approaches to living the Christian life, each of which is very common. The first is to be completely unconcerned about our behavior, because we are saved and forgiven. The second is to agonize over things we have done that particularly stoke our guilt, even though we have confessed them and been forgiven. The Christian life is a fight to the finish. We are here for a purpose, to carry out a mission for the Lord. That purpose is spiritual growth, spiritual progress in passing the tests that come to the mature, and production for the Lord in helping others to do likewise through the ministry he gives to us. On the one hand, we can't allow our witness to be sullied, and ourselves to be bogged down by divine discipline and natural consequences of sin, especially the more egregious behavior that often results from having no fear of God, as in the first false approach mentioned, where the Christian is completely unconcerned about their behavior because they are saved and forgiven. This type of attitude cannot be tolerated if we are going to win the three crowns of reward and please our Lord. On the other hand, we can't be looking backward and ever agonizing about past defeats and failures. There is nothing we can do about them except to confess them. Also, believers have to be careful about making their life all about trying to avoid sin when, 1, no one will ever be completely without sin, and 2, the way to get better at warding it off is to keep growing closer to Jesus Christ through his truth. In other words, focusing on defense makes for lousy defense. Focusing on offense without neglecting defense is the only way to win this fight.